las mujeres doradas means golden girls in Spanish. You always feel a little bit like a Mexican version of the campy 80s sitcom when hanging out with our good friend, comedian Bill Cruz. On today's show, the very likable big gay Mexican Bill Cruz rules the roost. He's here to talk about what it's like to be a pioneer in the comedy scene in Chicago.
Everyone loves his work, but in the early days, he struggled to entertain audiences and even connect with his own. Once, while performing in front of a Latino college fraternity, he was booed when he came out as a gay man.
One crowd that's always loved him is the fans of the Feast of Fools. Yes, Bill shared a stage with us 6 years ago. Can you believe it? So where has he been all this time?
Well, Bill's been performing as a professional comic across the country, and he's recently been featured in Mike Player's book, Out on the Edge, America's Rebel Comics, a book that details the true life stories of gay comedians.
Is the downturn in the economy or the warmer weather heating things up in Chicago? Several of our friends have been mugged lately, including me 2 days ago in front of the Ghetto Jewel grocery store in Andersonville. Listen to today's show for the scary real-life details.
An elementary school in Massachusetts sent a note home to parents explaining why the male janitor is now a lady.
Ding dong, is the Mona Lisa dead?
An article on the science of orgasms is disappointing to men because all it talks about is why women have a hard time getting off.
And did Donny Osmond stick his foot in his mouth? All this and more, I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Villian.
And this is Feast of Fools. Today's show is made possible by generous support of fantastic listeners like you.
We really can't do this show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffools.net, and make a donation or buy a fabulous new t-shirt.
Your contributions make the show possible.
Thank you.
Subscribe to the Feast of Fools podcast on the iTunes Music Store and never miss a delicious show.
Just type in Feast of Fools in the search bar and hit subscribe. Feast of Fools is also brought to you in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net.
LifeLube is your big tent guide to gay men's health, from sex and drugs to fairies and bears. It's your friendly concierge for all that's gay, sexy, and healthy.
LifeLube is the shame-free zone that keeps us all together. LifeLube.org. Hit the sweet spot.
Oh, yes. I feel itchy and bitchy and scratchy. Calm and collected, but choking with panic, but alive. But alive! But alive! Hi, everyone. This is Fausto Fernos.
And I'm Mark Villian.
And we have the fabulous, very likable, big gay Mexican comedian, Bill Cruz. Hi, Bill.
Hello, dolls.
Bienvenido. Bienvenido. Feast of Fools.
Do you know what that musical is?
You just told me, but no, I didn't know.
It's the Lauren Bacall. Well, she starred in it on Broadway. It was Applause, the musical based on
All About Eve.
All About Eve, mm-hmm. Which is for a lot of the gay men, the younger generations. They're going to understand that this is the musical precursor to Showgirls.
Right.
Correct.
So it's about two women trying to fight their way to the top of show business.
But this is Lauren Bacall. That song was, she was singing it in a gay bar in Greenwich Village.
That never existed.
In 1973.
So you can go to our website, feastoffools.net, and on today's show notes, we'll put up a link to Applause, the musical with the fabulous Lauren Bacall.
And you're a big show tune queen, right, Bill?
Yeah, I'm an old theater fag from way back.
Wow.
So you were a child actor.
I was a child actor back in Denver, Colorado.
You used to sell toothpaste on television.
Yeah, I did commercials.
Me gusta la pasta colgate.
The big one, my big break was the Trail Dust Steakhouse commercial.
The what?
Trail Dust Steakhouse. You'd go there, and if you wore a tie, they would cut it off and nail it to the wall.
Really?
And I was the kid with the hamburger.
Oh, that's so cute.
So you were like famous in Denver?
I don't know about that.
You're like, oye, es el chico con la hamburguesa.
Aquí está el niño que corta las corbatas.
Stay away from me. You don't speak any Spanish, though, for a Hispanic guy.
Very little.
You said it in high school, too?
But you speak a wonderful Mexican accent, though.
Yes, I do.
Let's hear it.
Well, in the beginning, back in my village of Santa Caca, I grew up to be famous actor.
So your parents like spoke to you in the accent nuns Spanish because they wanted to teach you your heritage, the accent.
But. Well, back in the 70s, there was a time where Mexican parents were told, do not teach your children Spanish. They have to be American. They have mm-hmm. to acclimate.
Oh, that's such a shame.
And then, of course, by the time I got to high school, they were like, no, you should totally learn Spanish. And I was like, well,
shit. Yeah,
nice. I know. Now. Well, let me teach you some Spanish, Bill.
Do it.
So you say, ¿cuánto cuesta?
¿Cuánto cuesta?
Necesito un niño para mis maletas.
You need a child for your
Yeah,
for
your to carry hammer? My suitcase.
Oh.
How much does it cost? Things like that. That's important to learn.
Right.
You know. Or, I love the Feast of Fools podcast. So on today's show, we have Bill Cruz. I've always wanted to do that.
You did it quite well.
Why do Mexican sports announcers and talk show hosts do that?
They elongate those vowels like there's no tomorrow.
Why do they do that, Bill?
Because soccer games are extremely boring and long. And
otherwise,
so they have to fill all this time when nothing's happening. So they just
so it's
really
kind of like Eartha Kitt, because that's what Eartha does.
Kitt.
Yeah. She doesn't say anything. She says like 10 words, but it takes like 10 minutes because she elongates all her vowels.
And all it's doing is filling up time.
Yes, it's
there's
filling
some
up time.
Stage manager in the back doing the elongate. You know,
so for the people who can't see here, you're taking. Imagine like you're making a little spiders with you're pulling taffy with your hands, and that's here we actually do that. So it means slow down because you're getting too nervous. I go like that to Mark all of the time.
No, like, you know what he does to me? He makes this big moon eye face like, and goes like this, which makes me more nervous.
I just kind of smile and
no,
shake.
No, you open your eyes as though you're like, you're shocked. And you go, and you shake your head. And then you're like, I'm like.
No, I'm going. You know what that means?
What?
It means that like,
you're
I
nervous.
Like what you're saying.
Okay.
And go on. Oh. I'm listening to you.
Okay.
I'm giving you attention. So you are one of Chicago's top gay comedians. You and Cameron Esposito are fighting for the battle, but you outweigh her
by a stone or two.
And you got, you know, street cred.
I do have street. Well, I've been around the longest. That's the thing.
Okay.
I've been able to withstand the slings and arrows of Chicago comedy for longer. But that's also a minus because I'm one of the few that haven't left yet to LA or New York.
Because that's what you're in a book.
I am in a book.
And you
a fantastic book. America's Rebel Comedies. Comedy Out on the Edge with an introduction by Margaret Cho, and you can get through our website, feastoffools.net. And it has wonderful interviews with comedians, not just about like what makes them tick, but what inspires them and who they are. And it, you know, if you like Margaret Cho and you like Bill Cruz's comedy, I highly recommend getting it.
I do too. There's some great stories in there. The guy from The Office who plays the gay character, although not gay, his dad was gay, but just talks about, you know, being a gay character in a major television show. And but there's some great interviews in there. Jen Slesser's in there. Jen Slesser was my goddess here in Chicago when I first started doing comedy. She was the only lesbian comic doing comedy, and she took me under her wing and
licked you.
And licked me a lot in the face.
Well, typically, and there's a couple of other people that from this book that have been on the show, Sabrina Williams and or Sabrina Matthews, I'm sorry.
I was like, she's been on the show. I wasn't there that day.
Sabrina Matthews and Kate Clinton. But so typically, what happens to a gay comedian in Chicago? Because there isn't a big gay comedy market.
There isn't. We talk about how the market is really geared toward, you know, a lot of drag shows. Mm-hmm. As far as the entertainment dollar of the gay constituent here in Chicago, they'll go to the drag shows, they'll go to the bars. But stand-up's not really an option or seen as an option because stand-up is mostly ruled by white, straight men. You know, there's very few women comedians as well, not let alone any kind of lesbian comedian or gay comedian. So when I started, I mean, I was at the old Lion's Den Monday night open mics, and there'd be 50 comedians there, and it'd be me as far as a gay person doing comedy.
So you had to suck all that cock.
Exactly.
All by my yourself. God.
Jesus, just for you.
My cheeks are so sore.
I mean, was it weird like being like the token gay in a sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Because when I first started doing it, people were like just so surprised that A, I was funny. Number one, that's the hardest part. B, that I was gay. And it for like at least, I would say 6 months after I started doing comedy and people started to know who I was, it became this open door policy to go, oh, I got all these gay jokes I was never had the courage to tell, but I know Bill Cruz. So these two gay guys walk into a bar, and it was for like months, people just getting out as many gay jokes as they can, preempted by, oh, I know Bill Cruz, so I can tell this joke.
Were they trying to steal your shtick?
No, they just wanted to tell gay jokes.
And then after the show,
exactly. After the show, they approached you and they said, "I'd like to demonstrate those gay jokes."
Patrick Fitzmaurice.
A stand-up comedian takes the lovable, likable Bill Cruise home with him and teaches him how to make sweet love to him.
Well, apparently the code around town is, you know, Bill Cruise is interested in you when he asks you back to his house to smoke pot and watch The Simpsons.
Oh!
I'm up for that.
I was like, that's a good time. Kids don't do drugs, so but watch The Simpsons. I have an excerpt here from the passage, which is called My Kind of Town, Chicago, Illinois.
Why Illinois?
Illinois. It's my new adopted city. I love Chicago. I fell in love with it in 99.
But why do you say Illinois, not Illinois?
Illinois. It's my name, Illinois.
Are you kidding?
Oh,
it's Bill with duh. Illinois. Duh. Illinois. What do you thought it was Bill Clinton?
I didn't get it. I thought it was a Bud Billiken or something like that. I didn't know.
How can you like Chicago? Chicago is the most miserable, disgusting city, and I can't wait to get out of here. No offense to everybody.
You love this town.
I love this town.
I love it.
Do you like Chicago so much?
I grew up in Denver, which was, at the time when I grew up there, a pretty small city. But it was very Midwestern, very open, very lot of neighborhoods. So when I first visited Chicago, it was exactly like Denver, mm-hmm. except no mountains. But everything's a neighborhood. Everything's spread out. There's not, you don't feel so closed in. So it just felt like Denver, but bigger and more segregated.
Yeah, because all the retarded people don't live in the city.
Exactly.
That's very much, no offense to people with mental disabilities.
Well, or suburbanites.
Or suburbanites.
Neither of which can
That's what I feel like I'm going to be doing all throughout the show. You bring this out in me, Bill. I've been saying all sorts of offensive things before.
I was full of a lot of vile and bile today.
Yeah. I got mugged. We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later.
I got mugged last night. Thank you so much for everybody for writing in. And
weren't hurt. Though,
I wasn't
physically.
Hurt. Nothing
they
was
didn't
stolen.
Steal anything.
They stole my sense of safety and my sanity.
Right.
But that was already gone.
I was going to say CTA takes that away from you pretty fast.
Public humiliation, as they call it. It's transportation. You wrote here in the essay in the book, I spoke the language of comedians, but being gay in Chicago was a foreign tongue to me.
Yes, I came out relatively late. I didn't come out until in college. And so I didn't even realize I was gay until
isn't in college where everybody comes out of the closet?
Well, yeah, but I mean, usually before that, like in high school, you know. You're like, okay, I'm gay, but I'm not going to tell anybody. And I didn't know. I'd even messed around with guys and had not put it together.
Well, you're Mexican. That that's gay. What a lot of Mexican guys do.
Yeah.
They just like, yeah, well, it's a whore.
Oye, Miguel. ¿Quieres chuparme aquí? Por favor. Esta noche solamente. Yo no le digo a nadie.
¿Tú quieres marihuana y Simpsons?
Yes. ¿Quieres?
Let's translate it to English.
Hey, Miguel. Do you want to come to my apartment and smoke some pot and watch Simpsons? Come on. Yes.
So
I could out Mexican you.
Well, that's not hard to do.
You are part Mexican.
My mother's from Mexico. Yes, so that's true. But so you felt like you were not clicking with the gay people as much as you click with the Mexican American scene.
Yeah, like the first when I first got here, I went to Boys Town and just did not feel. Like, you know, people go to Boys Town, they're like, wow, this is what I've been waiting for, this club scene, this happening scene.
It's Dorothy landing in Oz.
Yeah. And I
didn't feel like that about Boys Town, but when I walked into Steamworks, I was like, hello, America. I was like, they had to kick me
it's
out of
the
place.
It's a lot to take in.
It is.
It can be some kind of sensory overload if you're not prepared for it.
And it's one of those things where, like, if I'm looking for a good time, like, hey, you know, I want to go out tonight and have a good time, Boys Town is not my first on
where do you have fun?
To do.
Where do you like to have fun?
I have fun hanging out with comics, telling jokes, watching football.
But how do you get laid?
Well, that's the downside.
He sugars his own churro.
You sugar your own churro.
Oh, I finally get that.
You should probably hang out at that town hall pub.
I do like the town hall pub,
the only straight bar
in Boys Town.
But it's also, I think it's a little gay though sometimes.
Oh, yeah, it? Yeah.
You could pull some trade out of there if you really wanted to.
And I've gotten my share of action. I used to get tons of action in college. I that's why I stayed for 7 years
in college.
Yeah, and waited to graduate with my bachelor in theater.
Really? So how did you like hook up with a guy in college?
Oh, it's great. You know, guys would be like, "Oh, wow, Bill, you're so your own person and stuff." I'm like, "Man, you know, you just got to do your own thing. You know, if it feels right, you know, you got to do it. Hey, do you want to, you know, smoke some pot and watch The Simpsons?" And then
So the pot makes the guys horny?
I think it just loosens them up a little bit, relaxes them a little bit, lets them, you know.
Why don't you just give them a little beer? You know?
Oh, no, beer is definitely involved.
Beer is definitely
involved. Beer's good.
That's the first step.
And they're like, you know, I haven't sucked a dick in a long time.
I don't mind a little dick every now and then.
Doesn't make me gay. Doesn't make us gay.
It's all about just being who you are, bro.
Yeah, just embrace the difference. It's the Obama generation. That's why people are using Obama to get laid with each other. You know? Hey, it's a different time. So change is good.
Gay
change.
Sex, yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
So what do you say, though? Like, Chicago comedians, they usually, the gay comedians, they do it here for a little while, and then they move on to a different scene? Or
That's true with all comedians all in Chicago. Comedians. Basically, because there's no industry here in Chicago. There's no agents looking for talent for stand-up specifically. This is a very improv town.
Right.
So if you
Does improv have this iron grip on the comedy
scene?
And I find,
you know, frankly honest, I find improv to be so boring. You know,
sometimes it could be funny.
My favorite, and I have to say, I hit the nail on the head when we had Adam Guarino and a straight friend.
Yes. Eric Lutz.
Eric Lutz on the show. And I said, okay, roommates. Let's do a little improv here. Closeted heterosexual guy comes out to his gay best friend. Go. If you really want to like tongue twist those improv people, have them do, you know what the concept meta is?
Yep.
When you have them impersonate their own existence.
Yeah.
So it's like you are a struggling improv comedian trying to make the audience laugh. Go.
Yeah. You are uncomfortably, horribly downtrodden in your office and want to meet new people. Go. But see, I'm an old theater queen when it comes to improv. When I was studying theater, improv was a exercise for acting. So why would I want to spend good money to watch people exercise?
I go to the gym and I pay good money to watch people exercise.
But that's it. If you go to an improv show, I would say 50% of it, not funny.
Yeah.
Like, even though it's off the top of your head.
And you like the polished, rehearsed stuff.
That's right. I want to see stuff that's been worked on. That's why I enjoy sketch more than improv.
So you're like the Tommy Tune of gay stand-up.
Yeah, there you go. I'm all about step ball change.
I don't know what that means. Step balls and change.
Step ball change. It's dance move. Okay. Step ball change.
How do you decide what to do? How do you decide what to say in your act? Go. Make me laugh.
A comedian's process is like anybody's process. Because ultimately, a comedian is a writer, period.
Okay.
You are writing your material to express on stage as a polished act. So you write down everything that you think is funny, and then you perform it at open mics and try to polish it up to find out, okay, what's really going to work? How do I best communicate my idea of funny to an audience who's listening? So it's all about how you say it, the words you choose, and the rhythm that you say it. So once you find something that's a nugget of funny, then you try to explore that by doing like improvisational work at open mic stand-up stuff. You polish your joke and you get it out there to where, okay, this is consistently getting a laugh. Here it is. It's funny.
So you'll be at a open mic thing and you'll just throw shit out there and see if it gets a laugh or not.
Correct.
But it's something you've already rehearsed in your head. Are you one of those guys that has a little cheat sheet, a little notebook next to you and say, okay, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, and usually it's just like the nugget of the joke. Like, what's this joke? Like, the newest joke I wrote was...
Let's hear it. New material with us? Okay, let's hear it.
I did this the other night at the Lincoln Lodge. I was like, Bush is finally out of office. And
wait, we have to react.
Clap.
Yeah! Bush!
Bush. And then I was like, well, by that I mean I just shaved off all of my pubic hair.
Oh yay!
I don't know if that's making me laugh or not, but maybe it's because I had too much wine.
I think it's funny.
It's fine.
You know, Bush, when we were kids, my dad would make jokes and we'd be like, okay, tell us another.
Okay,
laughter.
One more. Warm me up.
Warm me up.
Well, the tag on that is, and then I go, well, Blagojevich is finally out of office, and everybody.
Woo! Yay!
Yeah, like, Blagojevich.
And by that I mean I finally got rid of my crabs.
and the audience goes,
because the office was my crutch. Because
the office
pushes out of office.
Yeah, so Blagojevich was the crabs.
That's okay. So, and if you're hosting a comedy event like a night of improv, what is the job of a host? Or stand-up.
Yeah, I would never host a night of improv.
You wouldn't? I mean, I'm sorry, comedians.
They usually just pick somebody from the audience for that. And they say, you're hosting tonight. We told you it was improv.
And I said, I'm glad I sat in the front row. Okay, people, we're going to talk about homophobia for the next hour. and you bitches who voted here for Proposition 8. Well, looks like I have my work cut out for me tonight.
But no, if you're hosting a comedy show, the one thing that's weird is people, especially comedians, forget that audiences who don't generally see a lot of stand-up all the time forget what it's like to hear a joke.
So you have to train them.
You train them. You remind them. You know, like you remember you're sitting around with your buddies. Hey, you know, two guys walk into a bar and XYZ and here's the punchline.
A priest and a rabbi walk into a bar.
Exactly.
And then what happens?
I'm not religious.
a gay man and a straight man walk into a bar.
Okay.
And they left together and they had sex. It was hot. Where's my joke?
Sorry, joke.
I was describing a porn I watched last weekend. No, but I mean, what? How? Help me be more funny, Bill. Help us.
We want to be funnier.
Oh. I want to be funny.
You guys are funny to me.
Tell me a joke. So you host these things, and you were telling me that you have to tell traditional jokes in order to get the audience prepared mentally to listen to comedy.
Because otherwise they'll ignore the show?
They won't understand what they're listening to. Meaning, if you can prepare vocally a joke to say, okay, here's the setup, which is, you know, two guys walk into a bar, and then here's the punchline, but you have to say, and then guess what happened? Here comes the funny part, you know. And so the audience will remember, this is how vocal patterns work.
See, I would do it differently. I would be like, okay, you motherfuckers are in a goddamn comedy club, and you're going to listen to some fucking jokes. So I'm bringing out the first comedian.
But see, that's how I felt like when we were hosting Ben Lerman's thing. I took that. I usually take that, bring out the baseball bat and beat up the audience approach. And I'm like, who wants to heckle me?
Nice.
But that doesn't work, though.
No, you have to get them comfortable. They have to, you have to get their attention saying, here's the show's about to start. So you're looking at the stage. You're going to calm down. We're going to acknowledge that you hear Mikey O, who I work with a lot, is great at hosting because he'll come out right away and then he'll say something about if it's cold, which it usually is, something about the cold. Hey, you know, it's so cold, my nipple shattered, whatever. And then he'll be like, hey, where are my Mexicans at? And everybody, yay,
Mexicans.
You get people invested in the show. Like, hey, we're here. We're ready to perform for you. We just want to get everybody together on the same page. Here's a couple easy jokes that everybody can relate to so that you understand what a joke sounds like. And we're going to make you laugh. And people have
I'm
going to
try
time.
One on you here. Sure. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to hosting. I'm like, okay, everybody, welcome to the Feast of Fools variety show tonight. Woo! Okay, where are my Mexicans at? Where are the people from Erie, Pennsylvania? Who likes here to applaud just for for anything?
Yes. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Well, that was great. Because now you have people invested in what you're talking about because they feel acknowledged that they're there. You know, the people from Erie, Pennsylvania and whatnot. And they're focused on you. They're clapping. They're happy. They're energetic. And now they're listening because hopefully you're going to say something that is attuned to them.
Who here likes to raise their hand for questions?
Do you ever say...
No one can see you raise your hand on the radio.
Do you ever say, let me hear you say yay?
What?
Do you ever do that, let me hear you say yay? That's what they always do at rock concerts.
Oh, we did that.
Yay!
So Mark and I were hosting Milwaukee Pride Fest.
Nice.
And it fell like a lead balloon. We turned it on and said, let me hear you say yeah. And the audience is like,
yeah.
It's cold. It's raining.
There's a tornado ripping through here.
Where they the did say fuck yeah. is Natasha motherfucking
Bedingfield.
Bedingfield. I forgot her name. Where is my goddamn sunshine in my goddamn pocket?
Well, see, that might not be your fault. There's some things out of your control if the weather sucks or it's a bad atmosphere.
It was scary.
That's out of your control.
What do you do when you get heckled?
Heckling's rough. Speaking of the Lincoln Lodge, we had two young ladies Friday night at the front row who did nothing but incessantly talk.
Really?
So as a comedian, your first instinct, at least mine, is to think that they want to be part of the show.
Okay.
So you know what? Let them be part of the show. Talk to them for a few seconds. Just, you know, find out what they're doing. Let them say what they want to say and then acknowledge it and then be done with it. Move on with your set.
Did you actually talk to them?
I did talk
to
them.
What did you ask them and what did they answer?
Well, basically, they were just talking. And so I was in the middle of a joke and I was like, oh, you ladies out tonight? And they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you're way out here in front of everybody. And they're like, yeah, we're drinking. And I'm like, oh, well, you've obviously had more beers than I have at this point. And so they're like, yeah, you know, so they're involved and they're talking. They think they're funny. And then, you know, they have their moment. And then you just continue. However, when you get that person who just continually wants to talk after, and I was one of the first comedians. And as one of the first comedians, a lot of show hasn't gone by yet. So you don't want to attack them right away because sometimes the audiences will turn against you. Me yes. for making fun of them.
Yes.
And at one point I was like, oh, you guys are really pretty. And they're like, yeah, we know. And I was like, well, it's good. You're joking. Pretty. And I felt bad because I was like, all right, that might have gotten a little rough because mm-hmm. the people were like, ooh. But,
ooh. But
as they kept talking, the third comedian, a brilliant comedian here in Chicago, Greg Mills, at that point, just let them have it. They were like, you guys need to shut up. Everybody has told you to shut up. You guys need to shut up. And then they were like, we don't have to shut up. And so then you get that angry
really?
Kind of. Yeah. And then some of the people from the show had asked them to leave or
really
be quiet.
It was that bad?
At that point, you got to get them out because they're just not going to stop talking.
Wow.
So at that point, Greg Mills did the right thing by shutting them down, turning the audience against them. In fact, at one point, he turned to the audience and goes, you know, let them hear how you feel. And everybody was just like, shut up, you stupid women, you know. And
you turn the audience against them.
Exactly. So then their backs are to the wall, like, wow, we better be quiet.
But so were they quiet or did they leave?
No, they were asked to leave at intermission and they did.
Wow.
But not before Greg Mills made fun of him because one of the gals had a black and white striped shirt, vertical stripes, horizontal stripes rather. And he goes, stand up for the audience, show him your shirt. And he did. He's like, what old timey prison did you just escape from?
Oh my God.
And then he starts imitating them. He's like clanking the tin cup on the bars, you know, warden, clank, 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 clank. And just after him, one after another.
Did he do any
another.
Lesbian sex jokes?
No.
Come
not.
On. Help but, a brother out.
But Greg, he's a great comedian.
So do you go backstage and warn him like these bitches up front are tough?
Oh yeah, no, I tell because the host had a problem and he warned me and he's like, careful, these ladies up front like to talk. So I was like, okay, I'll pay attention to him mm-hmm. a little bit, you know, get it out of their system. Mm-hmm. But by the time the last comedian Greg Mills got up, everybody's like, okay, Greg, you gotta
that's rough.
These guys wow. That is rough. And I've had fights break out during
really?
My sets. Yeah,
what happened?
This was at Zany's Comedy Club and this couple came in. It was the Taste of Chicago. They came in to
oh,
see the late
Jesus.
Show on Sunday.
Taste of Chicago, for people who don't know, it's just like this thing which overwhelms the city, like
it's
million
a
people
slum
downtown,
of food eat. And humanity.
So these two tourists had come in, gone to the Taste of Chicago, got completely drunk, came to see the Sunday night show, talked through the whole show, and finally they were like, you know, you people need to really be quiet, you know, please keep all table conversations to a minimum so everybody can enjoy the show. And then one of the gals just stood up and goes, you know what, Chicago sucks. And I'm on stage it. And I'm like, what are you doing? And then people got up to charge her
really?
To like start a fight. And then luckily the manager, Martin, wow. hysterical guy, you know, said, okay, you guys got to leave. And then like pushed them out the side door and everybody's screaming and yelling at these women like, yeah, get out of here. And they close the door. Everybody claps and then looks back on stage. And I'm just standing there as this fight has broken out.
What do you do after? How do you pick up the pieces after that?
Luckily, I had one in my back pocket. I was just like, oh, and people wonder why I'm gay.
Because it was two women.
Two women.
Oh, wow. There.
Everybody laughed.
I feel,
got back
I feel a lot of sympathy for straight guys, you know, and for chicks, heterosexual people.
Why?
Because it ain't easy. It's like you're watching television for Valentine's Day, and they have these commercials, and these two women fill up and, like, look at what he bought me, a diamond necklace. And I'm just like, I ride to die now. And the poor tool.
I'm not getting a diamond
model.
Necklace for Valentine's
you're
Day.
Getting,
how dare you?
You're getting something else. Whole.
Ooh.
Much better.
I'm getting a bag of peanuts on Frontier.
It don't matter, honey, but it, you know, it'll feel good. But the thing about it is, like, you watch these heterosexual couples and the chicks are like nagging their husbands or boyfriends, where's my diamond? Yeah. Where's my ring? And I was like, I thought, you know, you don't need to, what is that song? You don't have to be rich to rule my world. Oh, wait a minute. Prince, a man wrote that. What is up with the ladies and their need, heterosexual women
because
and their need for
their men,
bling?
The men aren't having sex with them. They're fucking their mistresses, mm-hmm. their girlfriends, or hoes in the back alley. And so they have to give these rings to the women to shut them up.
So yeah. If you're getting a ring from your husband or mm-hmm. boyfriend or best friend that you're having sex with, you better worry. You better freak out. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, this is a big joy. That means they made a mistake or something.
Or are iPods gay men's diamond rings?
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
If your boyfriend like is like, let's go to Paris. Let me get you a car.
Because toe rings are last year. So like the new iPod, oh my God, he loves me.
So if your boyfriend's spending a lot of money on you, chances are he's got a mistress.
He's cheating, yeah.
How do lesbians cheat on each other?
Oh,
how do they?
Get it, have a different cat that they don't share. I don't know. My pussies.
They hide their tea cozy.
They don't share their double coupons.
You perform at like things for Pride shows around the country, and you travel. And here, let me read a little bit more. You know, I'm doing the Barbara Walters thing, trying to get you to cry.
Okay,
but I don't feel like crying. I feel like laughing. Pride shows can be trickier. They are surprisingly more politically correct, by which I mean tight-assed. Audience are on guard for anything slightly offensive and in no way related, heavily attended by lesbians. I think
don't say it like that.
Well, this is what he wrote. I'm just reading it.
I didn't write it like that. Is lesbians italicized?
No. Slightly offensive and in no way related, heavily attended by lesbians.
There you go.
I think it is because there is an inherent political connotation when any large group of homosexuals gathered in a single space. Why is it so hard to perform for your own peeps?
Because when you get, and I think that's very true, when you get an enclosed space where there's a lot of gay people, automatically it's like, oh, something's going on, something important, something political, mm-hmm. this is a cause, this is something. So then all of a sudden everybody's on their toes. They're like, oh, we are gay people, we are together, we're one, so there better not be anything offensive, or no one better say faggot or dyke.
And that's when you want to be as offensive as possible.
Exactly. You want to be as free as you want. Like, oh, this is my audience. Normally, I perform in front of straight audiences all the time, so the chance to perform in front of a gay audience where I don't have to explain every reference, where I don't have to explain this or that.
Make Judy Tenuta jokes and people get it.
Exactly. And I don't have to come out all the time like, oh, coming out was so weird because, you know, back when I was a kid, it was different than you people. But no, these are my people. But the opposite is true, that when you get that many gay people together in an area, they're like, okay, you better not say anything bad. We're here to be positive.
So you're saying that when gay people gather together, it's automatically political, that we can't just come together and have a fun time?
Yeah, unless it's like it's a bar setting or if it's like, you know, whatever. It's because it's like the only reason why all these gay people are together must be for some cause or for some reason or for some action or something like that.
Well, let me tell the listeners right now, we are going to get together, us homosexuals, on Friday the 27th at 8 p.m. at Steamworks in the flesh with Bill Cruz, Adam Guarino, Keith Ecker. He'll be shirtless. The rest of us will probably wear clothes. We'll try to get Adam Guarino naked too.
Well, I bet you we'll get Adam down to his bikini.
Yeah.
And if you're really lucky, the rest of us will also. Tracy Tyler will get naked for you.
Tracy Tyler will be there.
And she'll be doing water ballet.
And special mystery guests.
And mystery guests that we haven't confirmed, so we cannot announce. But it is going to be at 8 p.m. and you get to hang out with us. The show will be taped later on, but it will not be posted for a long time. So if you really want to see it and see us all interacting and be funny, go check it out. Friday the 27th, 8 p.m. at Steamworks. So
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I am too. What are you going to do?
I don't know.
You have no idea, do you?
I'm stand up, I'm sure.
I'm going to get you a towel. What kind of towel do you want?
A beach towel.
I'm not taking my clothes off.
Are you going to wear your lei like you wore in your picture just to have that Hawaiian lei?
That's cute. It gets steamy
in there.
A little Hawaiian steamy.
That'd be hot.
We'll have a luau.
Maybe a piece of carpet, something.
Do you hate it when you're like sucking on a dick and you get those hairs between your teeth? Mm-hmm. Am I right, fellas? Yeah. Woo! Like that.
You hate it when you go to eat that ash and get a whiff of the jiff.
Woo! Yeah. That's the kind of comedy we'll be doing.
I like it.
Kind of freaky. Everybody, all our friends go, do I have to get naked to watch the show? I'm like, no.
No, but you can. I encourage all people to sit there
naked.
Nobody
ever gets naked.
But yeah, and there's people watching in towels, and when we were doing it last time, I was just like, show us your dick. And they're just like, I am not showing you my dick. I'm like, come on, you're in a towel. Show us your dick. And they're like, no.
Tracy showed them their dicks.
She did. Well, then we'll just ask, you know, where are my showers at? Where are my growers at?
You know? Where's my showers? Don't tell them your lines, he'll steal them.
Oh, that's right.
I know. I have no
shame. That was already gone.
He wrote it down. What are you writing down? Crazy. Stop it. What are you writing down?
Don't stop me. Showers y mi growers.
And now you actually perform for like Mexican families, like big banquet halls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you got booed the first time.
Well, the first time was at a college, which I will remain nameless, and it was
one of those trashy community colleges.
It was Northeastern Illinois, wasn't it?
It's Truman, wasn't it?
I can't DeKalb.
It was ACC.
DeKalb, did you say?
No, divulge. I said I can't
divulge.
Divulge.
DeVry. DeVry doesn't have a campus. Okay.
He went to that drawing school where you draw a pirate and a Bambi, pirate? And you can draw them fucking each other.
Your friend did that and got in, didn't he?
I have a friend who actually drew the pirate fucking the deer because they put the heads next to each other and says,
"Can you draw this?
Can you draw this?" And then they have a space below and they have the pirate fucking the deer.
I miss those. So they still have those.
And people are like, there was like 10% of the audience going, "That's really funny." And the rest are going, "I don't get it."
Well, I got a fantasy football scholarship to University of Phoenix Online.
Really? No. Oh. I have no idea what that means.
Foster, do you even know what fantasy football is?
I have no idea. It's when, let me try to answer that. It's when people create a fictitious football team based on statistics, and they play them against other fictitious football teams to see if they win based on how those individual players win, because football essentially is soap operas for straight men.
Exactly. Wow, that was amazing.
Was that accurate?
Well, really?
But I think one of your eyes blew a blood vessel while you're trying to explain that.
I'm bleeding.
That
knows like, what is that? Lost.
Firestarter.
I'm Leah.
Just back
off.
Oh,
you're making me laugh so much. I'm having like heart palpitations.
So I was at
You got booed.
I was at this university and it was a fraternal organization of Hispanic fraternities. So it was
watch out.
It was these fraternity Mexican guys with their girlfriends and it was just like macho, macho, macho just the whole time. And it was like, and then of course the fraternities are trying to outdo the other fraternity. Every time they would come into the auditorium, they would do their fraternity chant or whatever and the people would be booing or clapping.
Did they come from all over the country or something?
It was like, I guess around the area. I didn't even know because I figured there can't be that many Mexican fraternities.
In college? You know,
yeah.
It's called the it's called the what is it? The restaurant workers union.
But anyway.
Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm gonna get pissed off. I'm so sorry.
INS already. So all these fraternity guys are there and the girlfriends and it's all very the machismo. And I get in there and I start when I usually do, especially if it's a straight crowd, I'll do like 10 minutes of Mexican humor before I start talking about being gay, just to get them comfortable with me and get them to trust me. And like they love the
and
Mexican
jokes. Drop the F-bomb on them. And that's fag.
Not frijole. I thought you meant frijole.
Well, how do you out yourself then to them?
Well, basically, either I'll talk about how just whatever. I'll just drop it on them like, oh, you know, by the way, I'm super gay or whatever. Or I'll talk about a joke about, you know, not liking women if I've gone out with it. Like I have a couple jokes that I can set it up to where, oh, the punchline is I'm super gay and everybody laughs thinking, oh, he's kidding. But then I'm like, oh, by the way, because I'm gay, I do this and this and this. And they're like, oh, my God, he is gay.
So you never considered just like walking on the stage and say, I like to suck big fat dicks.
Maybe it's Steamworks.
Oh, well, you do that then.
But no, you have to warm up the crowd. You have to get them to trust you. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they won't follow you where you go. But it depends on the length of set. It is about trust. Mm-hmm. But it depends too. If it's a short amount of time, I'll come out with it right away. Like I'm a queer comic. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, I'm gay, I'm Mexican, et cetera, right away. But if it's a longer set like this was, then I'll wait until they're comfortable with me and then I'll start doing the gay humor. And as soon as I started doing the gay jokes.
Your eyes popped out when you said that.
As soon as I started doing the gay jokes, booze, literally booze.
Really? Why were they so threatened?
I don't know. I think it was the fact that it was just so many college age guys trying to show off to each other and be fraternity. Because when you're a fraternity, nothing's gay. You know, you can't be gay.
No.
It's major.
And so you're standing there on the stage. Oh, go back to your dishwashing job.
Yeah, exactly.
Fausto, that's horrible. Oh, would you like another beer?
I would love another beer, please.
And so he's and then you can start getting booed even more.
Yeah, and because the first time it came at the joke, you know, it's kind of like, oh, is he kidding? And then as I keep talking about being gay, then it became, okay, boo, boo. And it grew and grew, and they booed me off the stage.
And you're like, at least I got laid this weekend. At least I got my dick sucked. What did your girlfriend do? Ask for diamonds. Because it's Valentine's Day. It's like, you know how expensive diamonds are?
Oh, yeah.
You could buy like a whole brand, like a car. How much diamonds cost? You could buy a new car. Why would you even want diamonds?
I don't want diamonds.
I'm so crazy. It's like, oh my God. And it's like in this economy, if I was straight and my girlfriend was like, oh, did you see the jewels commercial on television? You know, diamonds are forever. I'd be like, oh.
People like diamonds.
I'd be like, you know, I'll buy you some diamonds. I'll buy myself a razor blade and I'll kill myself. Because bitches, it's crazy. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't want buying diamonds for my girlfriend.
Well, I'm sure the people that are working the jewelry stores and stuff like that are probably like shitting right now, because I'm sure people aren't buying.
Oh, they're shitting diamonds because they're swallowing them and stealing them from the store.
When they say they're like going to Jared's, that means you're getting a $5 foot long. He went to Jared's. It's an extra pickle.
So do we need to tell people. So last night I was walking home. This is where we talk about getting mugged. And I guess mugging's been in the back of my mind because one of our friends, Randy, got mugged, and he got his cell phone and his wallet stolen. And I was coming home from the gym last night, and I walked into the grocery store, and there was this Cuban guy who was standing there, like chatting with the cashier. I didn't realize she spoke Spanish. She was like a Chinese woman, you know, from...
Well, how do you know she spoke Spanish?
She didn't. I turned to her. I was like, do you understand what he's saying? She didn't speak English or Spanish.
Okay.
So this guy's like leaning over, and I'm saying this in complete seriousness here. And he's like had his body over the machine where you scan the credit cards. And I'm like, con permiso, tengo que pagar, which in English says, excuse me, I have to pay. He's like, oh, you know, Mr. Fancy with a college education, you know, you can, I mean, it's just turning this into a joke here, but, and I'm like, and he's looking inside my wallet, and I'm just like, oh my God, this is not happening. And I said, you know, you're harassing the customers here, and, you know, you're harassing me. And the security guard, which I thought was the night manager, comes out, and he looks at me, and he's like, are you done paying for your groceries? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, then you should leave. And I was like, wow. I think you should call the police. And he's like, do you want me to call the police? And I'm like, yeah, I think you should. I'm leaving. And so I'm leaving the store. And I walked out the into the middle of the street and walked north. And there was this young African-American man. He comes up to me and grabs me by my shirt and says, get me your wallet and your cell phone.
Oh my God.
And I'm like...
And you have your gym bag and all your groceries.
And all my groceries in my bag. And I just like... It was like a bionic woman or something. La mujer bionica. I'm like... I turned around and I look, and there's the Cuban guy with the long hair. Like
the one that was at the counter?
Yeah, it's like Kenny G from Cuba, you know? Like big, long, curly hair. And he's like, you're not so tough now, are you? And
who would ever think you were tough, number one?
And I'm like, you know, I'm just trying to get home with my cupcakes, you know, that I bought.
Right from the gym to Jewel to buy cupcakes.
Muffins.
Muffins.
Sweet muffins. And
might as well call them cupcakes.
Cupcakes.
They were chocolate. If it's chocolate, it's a muffin. It's a cupcake. Just doesn't have any frosting in it. And I'm just like freaking out. And I turn around and I'm like running into the middle of the street. I see five guys. It was like a scene from West Side Story. Not smiling. Not, you know how like when groups of people are walking down the sidewalk, okay, they're talking to each other, uh-huh, or interacting. They were just walking like dogs ready to pounce on you.
But they were walking like in a line.
They went in a line, down the sidewalk. And I was just like, fuck, I'm not sticking around for this. So I'm running in the middle of the street and I'm like, I'll take my chances with the cars because cars will stop for you.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully. And I'm like, help, help. I'm being mugged. Help, help, help. And I'm screaming.
Why didn't you use a rape whistle?
Because I'm not going to reach into my pocket and go, oh, hold on a second.
Are you still holding your bags and muffins?
I had my bags of muffins. And honey, I'm not parting with my muffins. And so I'm running down the street and I go back into the grocery store and I turn to the security guard and I said, you better call the police.
Nice.
And so the guy was like, you know, the police come and they're doing the report and they're like, well, did the Kenny G Cuban guy actually touch you? And I'm like, well, he didn't. But he was like, the physical language and the way they were beginning to surround me meant that they were all in concert with each other. And I said, probably the guy that actually had touched me, the African-American guy, was on camera. Mm-hmm. And I turned to the security guard and I said, can I identify him on the security tape? And he said, no.
Really?
Because that would be prejudicial.
What?
And I'm like, look, I'm not going to say this person did it or not, mm-hmm, you know? And so the police were like weird about it and they wouldn't write anything in the report except for the fact that a young African-American man tried to mug me outside of the grocery store, but none of the activities actually happened inside the grocery store. And then the weirdest thing about it was that this is the Jewel on Clark and Catalpa in Chicago, just south of Bryn Mawr in Chicago. And the night manager, the security guard was denying the fact that the guy was calling me faggot.
Oh.
And I thought that was really weird. And I was like, because I guess it escalates. You were telling
The cops that the guy had called you faggot. And during the interview, the guy was, he didn't really say faggot. He almost said it, but he stopped himself.
What? How do you that almost say it?
Well, because it was like, faggot. But I meant to say, you know, freedom.
But I don't know if it's, you know, it should be a lot because, like, in Chicago at bars, if you tell the bars that they should call the police over something like that, the bars have to call.
I told them, it's like, you, this guy, it looks trouble. Because the other thing, too, is, like, I was paying with a credit card.
And he was menacing you.
He was menacing to me as a customer, and he was looking to, like, basically reach into the cash register and grab the money. Like, that was his body language. Like, he was leaning over to be able to just go, you know? And he wasn't buying anything. He was buying like a pack of cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Mm. So I thought that was really, really weird. And then while I'm waiting for the police officer, like two of the employees like kind of whisper to me, oh, this happens here all the time.
All the time.
And I'm like, where's the, you know,
and so
like,
what happens though? So be careful, listeners, like what they do in this neighborhood. And I'm sure if they're doing it here, they probably do it in other neighborhoods too, is that they target single men,
not men,
single men that look gay,
probably, or men that look, that you can be pushed around for some reason.
Pushed around. And because, you know, you've got your groceries, you've got your stuff, you're wanting
your hands are full,
You know what I mean?
It's late. How late was it?
It was 11 o'clock.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. Because the reason why don't they target the women as much? You said because if they get caught, they might be charged with rape.
Oh, yes, okay. Or attempt at rape.
Okay. Attempted rape,
which is a heavier charge. So basically, if they're saying any kind of like racial slurs, or in Illinois, a homophobic slur is considered a hate crime, which carries higher penalties. And you know, it just seemed really, really shady. We've always jokingly referred to the jewel on Broadway.
Clark and Catalpa
as the ghetto jewel. Well, it lives up to its name. So I'm not going to be shopping there for quite a bit of a while.
Yeah,
they were not apologetic. They were not considerate. They were not sincere. They were just like, what an inconvenience for you to be mugged by our.
Oh, yeah, because then they got to fill out paperwork. They got to talk to cops themselves. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure they're all the time if this is happening.
I've seen
all
cops there a lot.
So I went to Yelp and I wrote a really like a review explaining my story.
That's giving it to the man.
Listen, this is what his review is. They have expensive produce and I got mugged.
It's true, though.
Get your priorities in there. Get your priorities.
Well, because you know how crazy people are in this economy. Mm. They're like, well, how violent is it? You know, like they'll go,
if I can get good cheap papayas, I'll handle the brutality.
Because I know some people who've gone to the like, you know, dangerous parts of Chicago to get themselves some cheap food. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I gotta say, you know, across the street.
Well, I'm just glad you weren't hurt. And I'm glad they didn't get your wallet.
They didn't get anything, iPhone. Man. It's like, and I got off lucky. I'm so lucky because our friend.
You were smart to run.
Yeah, right? And you're smart to stay in the middle of the street where it's lit and you can get attention.
Especially because like he didn't get a hold of you or anything like that.
Yeah, he did get a hold of me. Did? And I like yanked away, you know?
And that's the thing is like when people are attacking you, you want to get away. You don't, you know, use the force of your body to get away. Yeah. You know, just run.
Let me repeat too that, and this is, the cops agreed with me and this stuff. If somebody has a gun, they pull out a gun on you, run, because you stand more likely to survive being shot at by 2 feet, 3 feet, 4 feet, five feet. As the more you run, the higher your odds are of surviving. If a person mugs you at gunpoint, most of the time, sadly, they shoot you to kill you.
Really?
So you don't report them to the police.
Were you shot and killed when you got mugged at gunpoint?
No, I got mugged at gunpoint with my friend Randy.
6 months ago.
6 months ago in the Wrigleyville area, Boys Town area. Off of Belmont, and they had guns. And admittedly, I did not believe the guns were real, but I did not argue. And they took my video camera and my digital camera and our cell phones.
And you actually were robbed by trannies.
Apparently, because I didn't even know when we.
How
reported,
did you not know they were trannies?
Well, they were young,
sexually ambiguous.
Sexually ambiguous. I mean, it was dark, so I couldn't tell how much eyeshadow they had on. But the bandanas over their face were nicely pressed. When we spoke to the officers,
they actually wore bandanas.
Bandanas over their face. It was so like Wild West style.
Wow.
But when we talked to the cops, they said, "Yeah, in this area, we were right off of Seminary in Belmont." not a, you know, couple blocks from Spin or from Berlin.
There's hookers that work that whole area.
And they were saying, yeah, we've had a rash of reports of burglaries by transsexuals. And that's when I was like, oh, that totally makes sense. Because they totally had high voices, which is why I was like, oh, I think they were really young. Like,
so 15, Michael Jackson 16. Basically mugged you.
Basically. But I don't know if Michael Jackson carries around a gun.
I had seven. It was like West Side Story. You know what's interesting is the gangs are all multiracial. Mm-hmm. Like the guy at the grocery store, he was a white Cuban guy. There was an African-American guy, but then there was like, it was like a Hispanic and two black guys and a white guy in the gang coming at me, you know? So it was like, I don't know, it's Obama's America. This is what's
changed. Well, I don't think, I would venture to guess that it wasn't a gang per se, but a ring, what they would call.
What's,
you know,
a ring?
A ring is like criminals who know each other, or like petty criminals, and they link up and they say, you know, we can make more money if we work together because we're more people.
And my guess is like the like young man pride, who first grabbed me, it was a lion. I think he got cold feet or because had they followed me down Bryn Mawr or one of these
their
other streets.
Their timing was off.
Their timing was off. And had they just, you know, I've been half a block down, there'd been no place for me to run.
Or at least expected you to panic or freeze, like just stand there and get mugged.
Yeah, because I was like,
a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what?
Now,
what?
A friend of mine, she got jacked up against a wall.
Oh, okay.
And she was robbed that way.
Yeah. And then there's nowhere for you to go.
Yeah, then what are you going to do?
See, the problem is, though, it's adaptive. So these guys did not get caught. The grocery store, I'm not saying
they're like the Borg.
The grocery store was not doing all it could to help catch these criminals. That's I'm gonna say, in my opinion of the event. Now the law has a different opinion, and the police officers on duty had to do. It did not appear to me that they did all they could.
Well,
to
you
stop
were wrong
this.
Because you didn't. You should have said because the Cuban guy. He didn't touch you, but he did enter into the street as though he was
He was like turning his, because when you walk home with your groceries, you're walking in a straight line. And when I was running down, like turning around into the street, he turns to me and puts his foot on the pavement.
Okay.
Like as if he was going to intercept me. But I was just like,
who's calling?
Okay, we're back.
What happened?
It was some weird. It was a wrong number.
It was the Cuban guy.
It was this guy going.
You got your number from the Yelp.
Chico. Yeah, they could get my. Well, it just says your first number name, and you know. So I put up the Yelp. So maybe I googled it. Didn't get anything of it, but I am a famous celebrity, so
you know your target.
I'm gonna have to move to Hollywood, California, and live in one of those fortresses.
Ooh, yeah.
One of these days. So, Mark, what's happening in the news? So people, it's like the economy is rough, but, you know, that means be nice to each other. Keep your eyes and ears open and try to...
Buy a Feast of Fools t-shirt, make a donation, or else we might actually be out there on the street.
I might be mugging people myself.
Although you wear that Feast of Fools shirt, and that is a loud shirt, even though it's on black. People will not mess with you because you're an obvious
I like that show.
Oh my God, I saw this guy get mugged almost in a Feast of Fools shirt.
Well, I have some TV news.
That is not funny.
So Nicolette Sheridan, the one that plays the blonde slut on Desperate Housewives, she's leaving the show.
I didn't know that. Why?
Yeah, they don't say. They don't know. We don't know why they say she's leaving.
She got tired of being typecast.
It might be one of those things too, where she leaves the show and comes back. Because, you know, it's soap operas. They never
come back.
Next season, guess who's back.
And so Dancing with the Stars.
Yay!
Donny Osmond said he was going to be on Dancing with the Stars, but then he retracted it. Well, he retracted it for good reason, because he's actually not going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
And I saw that on TMZ. He was blabbing about it. And he's like, I'm going to be on it. And then I was trying to watch the CBS when they reveal the new dancers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I did not hear Donny Osmond.
I noticed that instead of saying like the news or the gossip rags, you say the CBS or the TMZ.
That's how you do it.
The CBS.
When you talk about podcasting, do you say the FOF?
The FOF? No,
the FOF.
But I was surprised. Little Kim's going to be on it.
Yeah.
Jewel. Belinda Carlisle. So those are some of the girls I've recognized as singers. And then also Sean Johnson. Who's that? I don't know who that is.
He's The Rock.
No, that's Dwayne Johnson. Steve the Woz Wozniak.
I want to see him.
And he's NFL friends star with Lawrence Taylor.
He's friends with our good friend Kathy Griffin.
Oh, that's right. And Lawrence Taylor, a great athlete. Athletes always have the edge in these contests because they're easy to coach, number one. So when their dancer coaches tell them to do something, they do it.
Dude, and then, so gay.
And they love competition.
They have those loose butts.
What, and Steve-O? Who's Steve-O?
Steve-O, now he's the bald guy who's, you can see his penis and balls a lot on the YouTubes and whatnot.
Oh, he's the Jackass
He's
dude.
The guy from Jackass, and he's always putting things on his balls. Very cute.
Actually. Nancy O'Dell.
From, was that not Access Hollywood Entertainment Tonight? One of those shows. And Denise, Extras.
Denise Richards, is she that desperate?
I would think that's so.
It's complicated, people. Right? It's not desperate. It's complicated.
It's complicated. No, it's complicated.
And then country singer Chuck Wicks and cowboy Ty Murray. Is he a famous cowboy?
I would get, is cowboy? There famous cowboys?
I don't know.
I saw bull riding the other day. I didn't recognize anybody.
I'm having a problem with it. You know, none of these reality TV shows are measuring up to RuPaul's Drag Race.
I would agree with that.
You know, and it's just like, I'm watching American Idol, I'm trying to get into it, and I feel like I'm watching a Chinese soap opera. Ooh, Paula, you hurt my feelings.
Is that hard to understand?
It's just impossible to make sense of what's happening, and you're just like, what? Why is she crying? Is she in? Is she out? And because they do this kind of thing where they announce if you got in or not, and they go, we're really sorry because everybody tried really hard. And at the end, they go, you got in. And everybody else goes, woo. And I'm like, oh, like we didn't see this coming.
Yeah.
Because the losers don't get to be on television.
What I want to know, I mean, like they always usually have one elderly person on the show. Does Belinda Carlisle count? Is she the elderly?
Oh, wow, she's like 50 something.
Oh, now, good.
You're gonna make one of our listeners, Jim, very upset because he's a big Go-Go's fan. Like he's, I think he actually is in president.
He's friends with the lesbian from the group.
Oh, okay.
Which is most of them. But
I was gonna say.
Have you seen her? Belinda Carlisle has a son that blogs. He's probably like 16
so
or 17.
Hot.
He's really, really hot. Is he gay?
Yes.
Heaven on Earth.
He hasn't come out yet.
He hasn't come out yet.
Okay. But he's on YouTube.
Heaven on Earth.
Heaven on Earth.
Oh, baby.
Yes. If you know what it's worth, Heaven is a place on Earth, and that's her name of her son.
Wow.
Heaven.
I was really disappointed, too. I downloaded an article I was reading. I printed it out because I was like, oh, this should be good. I'll read it. And it's called The Science of Orgasm. So I thought, oh, wow, it'd be wonderful about orgasms. And then it says, like, one thing about men, and the rest of it, this whole two-page article is about how women can't get off. And how is that, you know? Why not just title the goddamn article How Women Can't Get Off?
So let me give some masturbation instructions to the women.
What?
Stick your finger in there, vibrate until you come. End. Play with it. You know, massage the parts that feel good. Don't touch the parts that don't feel good.
There you go.
You know? Yeah. It's like, it's not rocket science. Masturbation is not rocket science.
I know, they act like it's the Lego pirate ship with 1,000 pieces that'll take them months to build. It's not. Find out where the spot that feels good.
And I'm not a chick. I don't have a vagina. I've never stuck my finger in a vagina, but I have a lot of female friends. Mm-hmm. I did look inside Annie Sprinkle's vagina.
You did?
There's a famous photo of me going, whoa.
Whoa, what's that? I see Russia.
I can see Russia from your vagina. Oh, that's so funny on so many levels. You know.
So yeah, diddle till it feels good. Why do guys have no problem with it, but women do? Are women about sex?
It's the oppression of women. I really feel that if it wasn't there, chicks would be rubbing it up.
I think that these hoods that cover their clitorises are to blame too.
No, it's not physiological. No? Listen, because you know, you talk to every lesbian and she's like, I discovered I was a lesbian when I rode a horse. And I'm like, of course you did. It's like, it feels good. Whether you were seesawing, riding the flagpole or whatever, you know, it's like,
well, going down the banister.
Guys, as soon as they know their penis is there, they're touching it. They're all over it. What feels good to my penis? What doesn't feel good to my penis? Women, I think, are just not like, don't touch it. Don't even go near it. You know, cover it up.
And that's a life of misery, you know?
And that is. Touch it.
Oh, my God. It's
touch
like,
it.
Touch it, ladies. Touch it, ladies.
Touch yourself. I want the listeners right now, if there's nobody around, or if there's somebody around, just rub it. Just rub it. Yeah. See what happens. Unzip it. Stick it. Wash your hands, though. You want to stick dirty hands on your cock or your pussy. Mm-hmm. Just stick it in there and play around with it. Just go all crazy and shit inside.
You know, stick like spatulas in there.
Yeah. No, metal stuff.
Not metal, like plastic, like the end of a spatula. I know a girl that did that. Of course it's okay. Don't stick bottles in there because it'll create suction and it will suck your uterus right out.
Yes, and that doesn't feel so good.
No.
But I had a friend who was vegan and she pulled out a carrot from the refrigerator, stuck in the microwave for like about 30 seconds, and she fucked herself good with that.
Really?
In the kitchen while we watched.
No, she didn't.
And I was like, yeah, her name is Allison.
Wow. You go, Allison.
And she was like, she was batshit crazy, but let me tell you.
Well, Mardi Gras is right around the corner, and I want to tell people a guy named Drew in Australia bought some Feast of Fools t-shirts, so he and his buddies are going to be hanging out at Fair Day at the Victoria Park in Camperdown in Sydney. So if you go there on Sunday, February 15th, you get to see Drew and you can have your picture taken with a crew of a whole bunch of people wearing some Feast of Fools t-shirts.
Oh, that is fantastic.
So all the Australian listeners, give Drew a high five.
I love our Australians list. What country? Down Under, right?
Down
Where
under.
Olivia Newton-John is from.
The Fire Continent, yes.
Okay, I thought you were talking about Arnold.
I know, I'm so bad. Feel so bad about those fires
it's
down crazy. There.
It's arsonists. They're saying that arsonists are setting it up.
Yeah. And they're like rescuing koalas and stuff like that.
And then, did you see the cute picture?
Yeah, he's giving the koala bottled water.
Oh.
And it's like people.
And then he eats it.
And then it's tasty grilled koala.
The koala dies from plastic impurities in the bone. What is that? PA1 or
PBAs or PBCs.
This is This is why we do shows like this, news items like this. An elementary school has sent a letter to parents. This is something serious, and every transgendered person should be able to keep their job.
Absolutely.
And should be embraced because we all are transgender.
Protection. Absolutely.
This person has legal protection. So the custodian of the school. Hold on, let me just take a little breath. Breathe. Students may notice and ask about the difference in our custodian from last year to this. Reads a letter from the district superintendent and principal of Clara Barton School. If they ask at school, they will be given a simple and straightforward answer. The best thing to tell them is that our custodian used to be a man. She has now changed her gender role and is a woman.
Yay! Yay!
And she's still working on being a pretty woman. But
well, we don't know what she looks like. But I just think about the janitors that I knew from school.
I would have loved to see them in trends.
If I could have force feminized them, I would have.
Oh, my God. There was one guy, he was in Puerto Rico. He could not speak English or Spanish. It was a bilingual high school. And he'd just go, you're like, what the hell? And his son went to school with us. And I'd be like, what is it with your dad that I cannot understand a goddamn word he says? And he says, he likes to drink.
Oh, nice.
What about the custodian in your high school? What do you mean a pretty
Speaking
lady?
Speaking of likes to drink. Have you guys seen that Ellen show where Gladys, this old lady, calls in and she's like, I like to drink, honey.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Christian, but I like to drink.
I like to drink and stuff like that.
It's making the rounds on YouTube.
Stop sending me links to that. I have seen it. And I know that Gladys is not an old woman. I don't know the exact identity of Gladys, but I know people that know who Gladys
is. We're guessing.
It's not him. I asked.
It is?
I asked. It's not him.
But it might be friends of his.
That's friends. Okay. That person knows who that person is.
Okay.
So it is an impersonator.
It's obviously an impersonator. Little old ladies are not that
gay
clever.
Men, when they do impersonate old women, they sound really close to the real thing. Oh, but we'll give it you away is that they're funny. Mm-hmm. Old tend to be like really like in their 80s. This is what a real old lady sounds like. Okay, let's have a conversation.
Hi, Miss Daisy. How are you today?
Don't touch me.
And that was the presentation of an old woman. It's like basically, you know, when you get that stroke, my mother was like it still is one of the sweetest women that people know. But she used to be like Mother Teresa. Now she's just like, you know, she's just a mother. You know what I'm saying? And she, you know, she's no nonsense and straightforward and you know, but she's not like the infinite pit wisdom and patience that she's.
Everybody always wishes their grandparents or the women, older women in their lives were like the Golden Girls, but they had a team of gay
those
writers.
Those are actors.
You know? Seriously, if my grandma only had a team of gay riders.
If you were in the Golden Girls on stage, because you know how the gay people always like reenact that and stuff like that, which Golden Girls would you be?
Oh, good question. I would have to say Rose.
Yes,
Rose had
that.
Some classic Rose? Lines. Rose she was is Betty White's
stupid
character.
The stupid one.
Yes. Yeah, she had some fabulous stories. To try to tell a story about some St. Olaf dude who raised cows with a straight face, that has got to be difficult.
Why don't we do like the Golden Girls? Recreate it, but make them into Mexican old women.
Las mujeres del oro. Dorado. Mujeres dorado.
There you go.
Yeah, and then we could do it. You could work in every joke into it and work like chalupa, taco, frijoles into it.
Back when I grew up in... You do the,
back
when
I was in my village of Santa Caca.
That's a comeback, a callback. You call
Rosita.
A callback. Yeah.
What? I'll be the horny
Rosita.
Southern one.
No, you have to be Mexican too.
Rosita yeah, but she's from Blanca. The South, from oh. Texas.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So it's like I am from Texas. What's her name though? The I don't know who the
Rue McClanahan.
No, but
Blanche Bianca.
Bianca.
There you go.
So you see Rosita, Bianca, and you'd be the
Beatrice.
Old Beatriz.
Beatriz.
And Dorothea. And I'm from Puerto Rico and I'll fuck anything.
I'm so horny.
But
we're going to have to get a tape of like all the ridiculous Mexican TV show sound effects. Like, bang.
Why is Mexico? Okay, we were sitting at the local the taqueria.
Nice.
Shout out to Taqueria Las
El Norte.
I've been there very
on
nice.
Bryn Mawr and Broadway.
Ridge and Clark.
Ridge and Clark.
Broadway.
That's the good one. There's one across the street, and it's kind of like
good, yeah.
Not as good, you know?
Yeah, my friend Brian lives right down the block.
And everybody goes, don't go. They'll serve you like hands. It's like they take the food from that doesn't get eaten at the dim sum, and they put it into the tacos. So you have like a chicken hand.
Excuse me, I didn't order this hand.
And so we were at Taqueria del Norte, and there's a television set, and they're playing like Mexican television. And it was basically, it was like, what we should be doing on YouTube, which is getting really, really hot guys wearing nothing.
Yes, bikinis.
Bikinis, and then us, the sleazy old men, trying to like, and doing, in quotations, comedy skits that aren't very funny.
Exactly.
Why is Mexican and Hispanic television, for the most part, not the way it was when I grew up? It was funny. It was inventive. It was colorful.
Really? Because as a kid, I remember like El Chapulín Colorado.
Yes, that was good.
No, and it wasn't it, good.
Listen, in the 1970s, like Chespirito and Kiko, they were like stand-up comedians that traveled.
They were major
and they were
comedians.
Filthy.
But they
filthy.
Weren't good on the show. The show was derivative.
It was funny.
No,
when it was,
it
yes,
was
you
not.
Can watch reruns.
How old were you when you watched it?
I was like 8.
It was funny to 8-year-olds.
You can watch it on YouTube.
It sounds awful it. To no, me.
You can see awful. The classic episodes on YouTube and you'd be like, oh my God. It's like Barney versus Sesame Street.
No, Mexicans for some insane reason think that it's hysterical that 80-year-old men play kids. It doesn't make any sense. No, it's awful.
That is sounds
it is
kind
so
of funny.
Awful. No, it's derivative.
No. Beep, 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 beep. No, they don't like my TV show. Beep, 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 beep. I'm going into my barrel now.
And what pisses me off, you were asking me earlier, what pisses me off the worst is all the gay characters in Mexican television are just so over the top, like, you know, kerchief around the neck. Oi, papi,
I like those gay characters. No. At least they have them.
Well,
you know,
no.
They were breaking taboos and having gay, like Agrelot in Puerto Rico had a very famous gay character. And at least, you know, they were looked down upon. They were minstrels, you know, but at the same time, hey, visibility is visibility, you know? At least they're not denying that they don't exist.
No, but at the same time, they're like the Roy Clark characters of Hee Haw from the 1970s.
Yeah.
They're to be made fun of. They are exaggerated beyond belief and still mega feminized so that they are not considered men.
And femininity is there's nothing wrong with it.
No, not at all. But when you look at the hierarchy of masculinity within a Mexican culture where the gay guy is not a man.
So how do you open up your two cans of comedy whoop ass and unleash it on your peeps?
I just talk about being a dude.
So you're not going to sissy it up for any audience.
No, really. I don't.
So we have to force feminize you for Steamworks.
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah, we will.
We're gonna put out. I'm be like, Bill.
Fausto was talking. He's like, I want to do a video with Bill. I'm like, not today. We don't have time. He's like, oh, come on. We'll just make tortillas. It'll be real easy. I'm just like, no, we're not gonna
tortillas
make
tortillas. Are so easy to make.
I'm sure they're easy to make.
So we'll, next time you're on the show, we'll make some tortillas. All right,
I'll bring my rolling pin and.
No, we're not making corn flour tortillas. Oh, we're making corn. Okay, yes, I'm not different. Making flour tortillas.
Oh, flour tortillas. That's how
fuck
I was
that
raised.
Shit.
We brought out the big blue bucket of lard. Oh. And we got out the flour. We made flour.
See, I make it with Crisco.
You would actually make them?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're delicious.
Really?
Flour is horribly fattening for you.
I mean, I could imagine.
My whole family.
People are eating lard again, though.
Yeah, lard's in.
Lard's in.
Yeah, America's leaning on pork once again. Leaning and leaning the way into diabetes and obesity.
Hey, the other white crutch.
So what's up with the Village People cop suing the Village People?
Oh, my God. Yes. The cop, the original cop from the Village People, who's now very old and can't sing anymore.
He's in a wheelchair.
He is suing the Village People because they continue to use his likeness and his vocal sound as their lead singer, even though they've replaced the cop. And now have a new cop who sings. He says that he emotes his specific vocal sound and image.
Oh, he copies the way he sounds.
Yeah. And so he says it's character infringement, that it is his character, his original invention. So he's suing the Village People for infringing on his
character. What do you think of that?
I think it's crap. I was like, what? You were part of the Village People, which is, again, in itself, a huge
stereotype. Well, I figured if you were on the Village People, you would get a severance package.
Well, I'm sure the rights of the Village People songs have been sold to company after company after company. So,
but you know what I'm saying? It's like you should make some money. Look, Randy Jackson, he's making
Randy
money.
Jones.
Or Jackson. Oh, yeah, that's the dog guy.
The guy, yeah.
Randy Jones.
Who I think posts like shirtless or like in a bikini recently, who looked pretty good.
Yeah.
He looks pretty good. I would have sex with him. Just take out those dentures, honey.
Oh, man. And I actually am a fan of Randy Jackson and Paula Abdul's song. I thought that was a pretty good tune.
Did you like it?
I did. All I want to do is dance.
You can't even sing it.
I do.
Just
don't turn the lights on. I want to dance all night.
With Randy Jackson in bed, don't turn the lights on. Just keep them off all the time.
All I want to do is dance.
So what's up with the Mona Lisa?
The Mona Lisa?
At the Louvre.
At the Louvre. It's pronounced Louvre.
No, it's spelled Louvre.
Yes.
Like Lou Reed. Did you hear that Lou Reed was snoring at a performance of Laurie Anderson, his wife, the other day?
Really?
Yes. He was like, they were like, who the hell is snoring during Laurie Anderson's performance?
He fell asleep.
And they turned around and Lou Reed, he used to gal pal with David Bowie and the other guy, Mick Jagger. And he was like, I've taken Mark to shows, Bill.
I fell asleep.
And he snores. And if the show sucks, I just let him snore.
Nice.
Well, I was like, snore away.
Somebody was looking at me once. I woke up and he was looking at me. I was just like, oh, shit. He's looking at me as I'm sleeping.
It was one of those stupid. It was
horrible.
It was a play slash music.
But anyway. So at the Louvre, there's a French-Chinese artist. His name's Yan P. Ming. And he made an exhibit.
Say that again. I got to absorb the name.
Yan P. Ming.
But say it with a correct pronunciation.
Yan Piming.
Yan Piming.
Yan Piming. And so it's called The Funeral of Mona Lisa. So they're finally killing that lady after all these years.
You were going to say something else.
What?
I know
I wasn't.
They're going to kill that bitch off.
In the centerpiece, there's this huge, giant gray Mona Lisa, and then it's framed on each side by mysterious images that look like gray clouds, and they're dotted with images of skulls and modeled on scans of the painter's head. Mm. So they're kind of trying to combine some kind of like, you know, old art with new art.
Okay.
And see what happens with that.
So the next thing is Mona Lisa is going to be replacing that gal on Desperate Housewives. She's gonna move in to Wisteria Lane.
She's gonna move to Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa.
I don't know. You know, it's art abuse, is what it is.
Is that what it is? You know what it is, though.
It's art abuse. Listen,
because all these people, they flock to the Louvre. Yeah. They flock to the Louvre because they all want to see the goddamn Mona Lisa.
And then, you know, after that, Da Vinci Code movie, they're all like, "Where's the Mother Mary? The Mary Magdalene."
Magdalene buried and stuff.
Can I
like that.
See that?
And there's so many splendiferous things in the Louvre.
The Mona Lisa in itself is tiny. It's not a big picture.
It's like the size of your head.
Yeah, it's like literally life size. Of a head. Yeah,
they say that it's Da Vinci in drag.
Yeah, I've heard
Sister
that too,
Wendy
yeah.
said.
Well, it is, other people say that it was a woman that is actually a woman.
No,
Sister Wendy says it's a
Well,
Da Vinci
listen, Bugs Sister Bunny Wendy's, was right. Sister Wendy said this is the greatest work of art and the greatest painting because it captures a gay man's understanding, but never a full appreciation of what it means to be a woman. And the smile of Mona Lisa represents our ability to appreciate, but never fully comprehend the mystery of womanhood. And take you know, that, as a gay man, you want to appreciate that. Bill, this is art.
This is art. Hey, I want to remind people that until the end of February, we're up for. We're in a
the Chicago Reader.
The Chicago Reader
right.
for best
Chicago,
gay news source.
Not Chicano Reader. Chicago Reader.
Chicago Reader also has a GLBT category for comedian.
Why don't you run for that?
I should, but it's fill in the blank. So
fill in the blank.
Yeah, so people go onto the Reader website, click on the right-hand sign, and
it's like the GLBT area.
That's
I
right.
think you're probably right above us.
I would. Yeah, it's like
what would
comedian.
You like your review to say? Because they want you to like talk about you and then do a review.
Bill Crew, a staple in the stand-up community for at least 5.5 years.
Because what we haven't talked about on the show is you actually were in a live Feast of Fools show.
Oh my God, that's
right.
The first time we met.
That's right. We
so
did
I
the,
saw you perform and I said, you were so funny. And so I had it was like, you come and now Bill, what he's doing is he's moving his hand like a puppet.
Because it was the skull. It was
that's
the
right. I used
skull
to do a
the
show in drag.
There. Yeah, I saw it when I came in. And
you know, Jackie Beat wanted to buy that. She's like, how much do you want for it? She was like this evil, like, what do you call it?
The
like
witch.
Like, she was like, I want that skull.
I and want
like,
the crystal
she's like,
skull.
No, really, how much? If I was, she's like, I'm,
it's not
for
sale.
I'm not selling it. It's part of my hair. And she's like, I'll buy it.
And it literally, it was
Cruella DeVille with Dalmatian.
It was more like the evil woman from the Indiana Jones movie who was like, I'm searching for the crystal skull.
Nice.
And yep. Jackie Beat wanted my skull. And I said, I will make you another one, but you will not have the original.
But I want that one.
She's like, I want the original.
Look,
I want the crystal skull.
Take a mirror
skull.
And break it. And then be,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, just look into a mirror and just take the pieces off of it.
Just kidding. So anyway, what happened?
Oh, I can't remember where you had saw me. I think it was
Homo Latte.
Homo Latte.
Oh my God.
I think
it's
at that
Latte.
Time it was called Grindr.
Yeah, I think
you
you're
can
right.
Visit Homo
at
Latte.
The exit,
yeah.
I think it was Exit Cafe
yeah.
way up north. Mm-hmm. And literally, it was literally like my third gig.
And it was love at first sight. And you were really funny. You
I
had,
was. I was
you had
good.
Your beats and patterns and your structure down. And I still to this day, I cannot be as funny as you are.
And then you came into the show at Hàm Yên, which was the Vietnamese
yeah.
restaurant banquet mm-hmm. hall for the
and that was
big
a lot.
And there was
show.
A dragon lady on a corner on a chaise lounge huffing on some opium going, would you like to pet my cat? I don't understand this drag show, but I like to watch the gays flow by.
But it was so weird because I had just done the Bears conference mm-hmm. right before that, and then I did that show.
Like football Bears or gay
no,
men
the,
hairy
during
Bears?
During the ILM.
ILM.
IML?
IML. Because the Bears conference and the IML is the same weekend, and so they were looking for entertainment at the Congress for the Bears, and I did that show, and then I think your show was
which
right
was a better that. Audience?
Probably the one. All the other Bears were playing grab ass
Mark
in the
is
back.
Mark is shaking his fist at him right now.
I couldn't. I got maybe the attention of four Bears who.
Because of grab ass.
So do you identify as a bear?
Not at all. No.
What do you
no,
identify so? As?
No, as no, as
Bill. As Mexican. A young stud.
Bill.
Hey,
Bill.
So when you go to the Chicago Reader to vote for us and to do a little thing, here's some examples of things you can write.
We're getting these from actual reviews that people have written on the iTunes Music mm-hmm. Store. You can do so by going to tinyurl.com/feastoffools and write your review on what the show means to you and why you enjoy listening to it. If this show means a lot to you, post a comment on every show, participate in our forums and write a review because your participation makes this vital. We read every single comment. Bill reads them all too.
Yes, I had a great time reading them today when you printed them out for me and showed them to me.
So you are you one of those people that like gets your
coño.
Your coño. your personal assistant to print your emails for you.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're like, I don't know how to use a computer.
Computer, messages, please.
So here's some reviews here. This one, Mark, do you want to read the first
love
one?
Love you, love your show by Tarian Jr. 19. Fausto and Mark are both entertaining and fun to listen to. Keep up the great work, guys. I enjoy listening to you and your guests. Feast of Fools keeps my workday exciting. Love ya.
And this one's from Dylan 1977. The best podcast ever. Nice. Isn't that sweet? That is sweet. I listen to the Feast of Fools podcast every day on my drive to work. Mark and Fausto and their guests always keep me up to date with the latest happenings in the news and put their own interesting spin on things. Feast of Fools is the Jon Stewart Daily Show of the new media. He didn't say that we were the gay Jon Stewart. He just says we're the best thing. Fausto and Mark are like Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. Very positive people, funny, and they never put anyone down. I love the guest selections they bring to their show. I have recently got my sister hooked on this podcast. I'm really impressed at the level of knowledge these guys have to offer. Keep it up. Keep up the good work, and thanks for all you do.
And Gugu LaRue says, Mark and Fausto, hot, smart, informative. These guys and friends truly execute their intentions to create a community of informed and entertained listeners. They not only engage the conversation of gay rights, gay life, and all GLBT issues, but also perpetuate the importance of embracing people from every sector of society. Fausto and Mark play off each other with addictive banter that livens every show. Each guest interview brings out deep and interesting topics, which allow listeners to get acquainted with many fascinating creative minds. A must for every iPod.
And Hortensia says, they know how to read.
Pick up your stuff. Bill,
I want to thank you. You promise me you'll come back.
Absolutely. Oh, can I plug the show?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. All right. Okay. Stop the music.
Plug the paper.
Where's your paper?
You had it. I gave it to you. It's in front of you.
Where? I don't have it.
It's there. It's somewhere.
No, this is my police report.
No. It's there.
Where is it?
Pick up, look at your paper. You have papers in front of you. Pick them up and look at
this
them.
This is elementary schools announced janitor sex switch. You know?
It was the one I folded in fourths.
I think I gave it to you.
Like you grabbed it off the counter, I think.
It's right here.
I put it right in front of Fausto.
Maybe it's over here. Hold on a second.
That's what most people's podcast is. I'm just like looking for things.
Where's my glasses? Where's my prescription medicine?
I'm taking my pants up.
Did you put the keys over here? Where are the keys at? Here it is. Here's Las Comedias of Comedy Series, Saturday, February 21st.
Yes, please come down to the... I don't know where that is.
It's like
you've had so many beers you can't read anymore.
Ply me with beer.
I got one more in the fridge for you.
Sons of
La Cervecita.
So at the Chicago Center for the Performing Arts, which is on Halsted, everybody, 777 North Green Street, right off of Halsted in Chicago, a great venue for comedy. Coming up Saturday, February 21st, Las Comadres of Comedy presents Mimi Gonzalez, a wonderful lesbian comedian. She's been on Logo. She's been on the Today Show. She's been
on
Comedy Central.
And on a lot of women.
And she's funny?
She's hysterical. She's very funny. She's headlining. It's the big 300-seat theater. Wow. Come on, check it out. Mikey O puts on the best shows. Adam Guarino, our favorite young comedian friend, he'll be...
Are people going to be disappointed that he's not Hispanic in that thing? Because you got Gonzalez.
You would think so.
You can say introduce him like this. It's, I'm Bill Cruz. And what's the chick, the lesbian?
Mimi Gonzalez
and Adam Guarino.
Guarino, that's right. And if anybody can pull off Mexicans, it's Adam.
not that way. He doesn't pull them off. I think he just likes them in the
pulls them off of his body.
The show's hosted
off of his dick.
Mikey O is hosting. He's a wonderful host and he's a great contributor. Olivia has been a wonderful producer of this show. She's gotten people from the Wicker Well and all the big lesbian bars in Hendersonville to help support and sponsor. Adam Guarino's opening the show. I'm featuring, tickets are cheap. It's $12 in advance,
$15
at the door. Go to www.theaterland.com for tickets or www.mikeyocomedy.com. Tickets are selling fast. Please get them now.
Remember, today's episode was sponsored in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net.
Subscribe via email or reader and never miss a sticky post. Gay, sexy, healthy. Hit the sweet spot. LifeLube.org. Check it out. It's a fantastic blog on gay men's health and sexuality and lots of fun stuff.
What's that URL one more time?
LifeLube.org.
Your life could depend on it.
That's true.
It might just save your life to read that blog.
Will you read it, Bill?
I will read it tomorrow.
Okay.
Bill Cruz, you turned my upside down frown into a smile.
I'm gonna get you another beer.
Please do.
Thank you so much. Remember, you can comment on this show and any of our podcasts by visiting our website, feastoffools.net, and share your ideas.
And buy a t-shirt. We can't do the show without your support, so please donate some money or get a fabulous new t-shirt.
Stimulate the economy, people! I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Marfilian.
The Music Crew. Wait, not there yet. The music featured on today's show is the music by Jeffrey Straker, fabulous hot muscle bottom from Canada.
You don't know if he is or not.
I don't know, but he looks like it.
The piano, he's a muscle bottom.
Yeah, his song Hypnotized from his album Step Right Up is available on our website, feastoffools.net. Support independent music. Viva la raza. Hasta luego.
Bye-bye.